you know what I mean. There's always something more behind unopened doors. You find yourself unsure of anything that occurs. Am I wrong to say that I feel things going the wrong way?
What you just heard was 100 Foxes by Salt Lake City-based band Cinders. We are very lucky to have them in today to join us over here at The Review. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
I'm Montana. I play electric guitar and sing.
And I'm Jordan. I play acoustic guitar and I sing as well.
And I'm Chelsea Harris. And I play the saxophone and then I sing some backup vocals.
I'm Austin Harris. I mostly play keyboard with some saxophone, accordion, harmonica, a lot of anything else that we decide we want to put into our songs. I pretend like I can play that. So as far as the band's being beginnings, we've been together for just about 3 years now. We started off 3 years ago as a five-piece, and then at the release of our first album in May of 2016, it was the first time Chelsea actually played with us. And then she kind of married into the band.
Kind of.
Literally.
Kind
of.
She literally married into the band and got stuck with all of us. So now we're a six-piece, and she plays live every show and records with us and is a big addition to our sound, especially on the second album. Yeah. That's one of the biggest differences that I think people will notice is Chelsea's vocals. Half of the band have known each other since high school. Jordan, Montana, and Adrian, our bass player. They did a lot of different projects together and have known each other for a long time, done music for a long time. Jordan mentioned previously, him and I met in Nashville, actually, serving LDS missions. And we became best friends. And because of music, we just bonded over music. And so then I joined up with them when I got home. And we met our drummer, Brad, through
Tinder.
Through Tinder.
Instagram. Yeah. Random as it is, like with our, you know, three of us knowing each other for a long time, the other three kind of meeting in sort of weird ways, it just sort of all fell together, really. Mm-hmm. It worked out.
We didn't really try.
Yeah, we did. Honestly, we really didn't. I mean, I remember talking to Adrian, and I was just like, hey, do you want to play bass? He goes, yeah, man, I'll be in your band. And he was just in the band. He was like, all right. And Brad messaged us, and he goes, hey, do you guys need a drummer? We said, yeah, man. And he goes, okay. And it was like, okay. And then we just had a band. And I mean, Austin asked Chelsea to marry him, and she said yes.
Said, okay.
And
so here she is.
So here she is.
I'm in the band too.
Yeah. So it just kind of worked
together. Naturally.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, what kind of influences do you guys have? Are there any artists that you particularly pull from?
That's a really big question. I think it's one of my favorites.
I think every single one of us could name three that are all different.
Yeah.
And so, like, for Adrian, I know he pulls a lot from, like, Motown stuff. I mean, and then he's mostly plays guitar, and so a lot of his bass lines base around what, just guitar licks and stuff. And so I know that he's got several different things. I know Brad... You know more about Brad's drum influences.
Yeah, Brad, I mean, he comes from a lot of pop punk and heavier drummers. He loves Tony Thaxton from Motion City Soundtrack and a lot of his hi-hat fills and playing he does on there is inspired by him. And he really likes drummers who hit hard. Brad's a fan of those. I mean, but it's so cool. Just like what Montana's saying, there's six of us and all of us have very different musical tastes. And so we pull a little bit from each of them. And you can hear that come through in our record.
Oh, for sure.
Because, I mean, if you take a song, I mean, all of us write together every single song. And if one of them was heavily written by me, for example, in the style of music that I really like and I listen to and I bring it to the band, they'll say, yeah, some of this is pretty cool. And then they add to it and it becomes a Cinder song. If we stick with what I started, we're going to have a really bad song. These guys have heard them. They're pretty terrible. Yeah, but, and so that's why, like, I mean, with our musical influences, whether it's the Motown of Adrian or, you know, the pop to the folk to the jazz of whatever all of us are listening to, it comes together to create this really cool sound.
Yeah, it allows diversity.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like we have a really, if you, all of our musical interests is like a really complex Venn diagram where we have overlaps with different people, and, you know, there are some bands that we all kind of overlap with. I think we all are into Group Love and Head in the Heart and for the
bottoms.
Most part, the Front Bottoms.
Yeah.
And
Backstreet Boys.
And Backstreet Boys.
And then, you know, some people love One Direction and some people love Dave Matthews. So, like, we just get lots of different tastes all kind of mixed in, but we have our common ground that we, I feel like, feed from the most.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the DIY Musician Conference you guys were just at. Can you give me a little more details on how that was?
Definitely, yeah. So Austin, actually, we met in Nashville some years back, and so when we found out that this DIY Musician Conference was happening there, we're like, oh, dude, we got to go back. And we're a big fan of the DIY Musician. Everything that we've done to this point, we've been completely independent, and we love it that way. And so when we heard about this conference, like, let's get tickets, let's go. And while we were there, we had some incredible opportunities to meet some really cool people in the industry. And not only that, but meet one of our heroes, Bob Boylan, who hosts NPR, you know, All Songs Considered, started that, and Tiny Desk Concert Series. And we had the opportunity to have our song, 100 Foxes, reviewed by him. And a panel of other very qualified individuals in the music industry. And so for us to walk up there and hear our song and hear what they had to say about it was surreal, especially since, I don't know about you, Austin, but I was kind of nervous for a little bit of critiques. You know, I was nervous, especially to hear what Bob would say, but everything was extremely positive.
Yeah, because we really had no idea what to expect going up there. And we'd watched some of the previous years, and, like, they could be a little, you know,
harsh.
Critical, harsh, yeah. And so it's like, well, maybe they'll pull you up there and just kind of tar and feather you in front of everybody. But it was the complete opposite. They spent like almost like 10 minutes talking to us about our song and
15, 20.
But it was one of the biggest like validations that we've ever had, especially to hear our production and our recording quality was on pace with professional studios, because like Jordan said, we've done it all ourselves, and you know, a big part of that is Montana, so I think that was a big push to his ego that day.
That sounds like it was an incredible experience, and reading from it, it did seem that it was just a lot of positivity towards your music, which, I mean, rightfully so, that's a great track. So, and that's one of the singles for the new album, right?
Yes. Yeah, that is. That's the second single that we released.
Okay, and can you tell me a little bit about the new album?
We just finished it. It's got 11 songs that we're proud of, every single one of them, so we're really excited about it.
This one's a lot different for us compared to our first record. We just got back the first review of the record, which for everybody is terrifying, right?
Oh, yeah.
And
good thing is a friend.
Yeah. And I mean, reading it, though, I had messaged this author, and I said, hey, just want to make sure you received it okay, because it had been a little bit of dead space. I haven't heard from them in a week or so. And they said, yeah, I got it. It's done. It needs to be proofed, and then we're posting it. And I was like, So did you like it? I was like, you're going to tell me something. And they messaged us, privately, and just said, honestly, it's everything I wanted it to be. It's amazing. And so that was, kind of emotional, because I was like, oh my gosh, this is something that's real. But this record is a lot heavier musically and lyrically than our previous record. I think it fits into our genre that we've kind of been given as rowdy acoustic pop a lot better than our previous installment. So, the songs are so much more personal to each one of us with the themes of the song and the actual lyrics that are expressed in there, rather than our first album, which still had a lot of personal meaning, but it was a little bit more vague, kind of.
Yeah.
This one, we didn't hold back. And so something that, like Montana said, we're extremely proud of all 11 songs.
So can you guys tell me a little bit about how maybe the local Utah scene has helped you just increase your fan base and get your music out there?
Yeah, we love playing in Provo. Provo's a big market for us, and there's a really good like niche music scene there, where there's a lot of people who I mean, really, it comes down to the velour in Provo. And there's a really good venue established that even if people don't know the bands, they'll go because it's the velour, you know?
Yeah.
And so we love playing there. We love the kind of the relationship we've built with them, too. And then just there's a lot of amazing artists in Provo.
It's easy to become a local music fan with all the different bands here.
Yeah,
I love the velour. I love that they just bring in all the artists and the open mic night, which really allows just different people.
That was one of our first shows.
Yeah, really.
It was horrible.
What was
we
it like?
Video.
It was us three in the room right here.
Jordan and Montana.
We were really good.
We played two songs. And
well, we're here now.
Yeah,
we're here
we
now.
Have recordings. It's... They're on Instagram somewhere.
Oh.
No, we deleted
those.
One.
We'll have to bring
yep.
those out.
Oh, I like that.
We still have it on our end.
Oh, okay.
You'll have to release those one day. Like, this is how we started.
It's definitely an inspiration to see the progression. That's really cool. But like Montana was saying, there's so many other great bands. It makes it easy to play really good shows, you know, around Salt Lake and Provo and even up in Logan, because there's always other great musicians and great bands to play shows with, which always helps.
We've become good friends with a lot of artists around here.
Yeah.
I mean, and today, like one that definitely inspires us that we've worked with and we've been able to share the stage with and it's been really fun to hang out with is the National Parks. They're all super nice. They put on a great show, and you know, seeing that they've only been around a few years longer than us, it's been kind of fun to watch them and see us both progressing. It's fun to see where they're going and where we've been and how we're kind of meeting up there. Some of our other great friends that we've even actually toured with a couple times would be like the Solarists. If you've listened to them, they just put out a new EP.
I feel like that sounds familiar, but
they just put out a new EP and it's excellent. But
Michael Barrow and the Tourists.
Michael Barrow and the Tourists.
He even came up on stage and sang one of our songs with us.
Yeah.
In place
of
us.
Yeah. Yeah. He has a much better voice than us, so it was really cool. But there's some incredible artists around here, and it's been fun to work with them and kind of. Talk with them. I mean, they ask us questions, we ask them questions, and the big thing is all of us have the same goal in mind. So when you find somebody with the same goal, it's hard not to help each other.
For sure. And I think the community here is so tight knit.
Yeah.
And that's just spectacular that artists can come together and support each other. So what would you recommend for maybe some garage band out there right now that hasn't left the garage just to finally get out there and start creating music and doing shows locally?
I mean, what we did was we just contacted venues and started playing as many shows as possible because we thought that was what we needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time it was for us. We played like Kilby Court twice a week, I think, for like 3 weeks at one point.
It
the loading between the loading dock and Kilby Court and open mics the Velour or some Muse.
Yeah.
Are we... which is gone now, rest in peace.
I know, I'm
so
sad about that. I love these cafes. So.
Yeah, and so our big thing was we just got out and started playing shows because that forces you to, like, get better at playing because it's embarrassing if you suck in front of other people. In your garage, it's not that embarrassing. So, but that and then getting, like, recordings out so people can hear you, that's a huge thing, is getting something out there for people to listen to.
I'd definitely add to that. You're gonna get told no a lot. I mean, for every 100 no's, there's a yes in there. And I mean, that's still the same case today.
Mm-hmm.
That always is. So you need to get used to rejection and know that there's somebody out there who's just waiting to hear you. And not to give up. I mean, if we gave up on everything when people told us no or we're not good enough or you just aren't gonna make it, it's like, man, we would have been done forever ago.
1 week into it.
Yeah, 1 week into it. This song isn't very good. You're probably right.
Yeah.
I'm going to go work at a call center. Yeah, exactly. But, no, you're going to get told no a lot. And I think that should kind of feed the flame and be a little bit more inspirational and motivational rather than hurt you.
I understand you have quite a bit of shows coming up, so maybe we can hear about that and anything else that you have in mind.
We have a couple of big shows coming up. I guess the big one right now would be the 13th of October at Velour. It's our big album release show, including every weekend of October, we're kind of touring just throughout the West. So we're hitting up Seattle, we're going to Idaho, St. George, all over.
I mean, along with that, so throughout October we're touring, and November and the rest of this year we're going to be playing a bunch of shows. I mean, plans, this record, I mean, I think as all of us have stated, we have put everything into this. Until this point, we've never done anything this big. And so we're working hard to make sure that this is the biggest thing
mm-hmm.
that it can possibly be right now. And so, I mean, we expect to be touring throughout all of 2019 and that it just continues on. That's, I mean, a big goal for this band right now is we tour the West a lot. We're a big fan of the West. And so, and I mean, it's...
'Cause it's close.
Because it's close. I mean, we say close, but man, those drives are long. They are long. But, I mean, we expect to be touring the entire country next year. And so, and that's where we know that this record can take us and where it's going to take us.
Okay, awesome. Well, sounds like you have a lot of great things in mind. A tour is always another fun thing to do, even if it's exhausting. What's
the
most rewarding thing about touring, what would you say?
Honestly, just meeting random different people at the different shows. Like, we go to a California show thinking we're not gonna have fans. There's people that show up and they're excited to see us and talk to us, and it's just surprising every time. And so we love meeting different people, new people in different states and cities that we've never been to. I think it's the most rewarding.
Yeah, the crowds are definitely, even the small crowds are definitely the reason why we keep touring, because that's what makes those 11-hour drives home on Sunday worth it.
Those 35 minutes.
Raising
Cane's, and, you know, not in Utah, but that makes it worth it driving to Reno.
Yeah. And it's awesome because, I mean, we kind of say this, we're friends first, a band second, mm-hmm. right? We're all just best friends, and so there's really nothing better than being crammed in a van with your best friends for 12 freaking hours a day, right?
And hopefully at least one shower.
And hopefully at least one shower, right? You know, and it's, you get annoyed of each other. It's irritating. Everybody smells, and it is so much fun. I mean, there's not another group of people that I would rather do this with. And it's just, I mean, it's awesome. It's incredible.
We always say, if this tour doesn't kill you, I will.
Shout out to Pup.
Yep.
So I imagine the friendship is probably one of the reasons you guys have had success, right? That's kind of like the recipe for it. But what else would you say contributes to the success you've had?
I think a big part of it is always just looking for new ways to promote ourselves and new ways to kind of grow. We focus a lot on the business side of music too, which I think is a point where a lot of people maybe miss on. They just think if you make good music, you're going to get big. There is so much good music out there. You have to do something else too, you know? So a big part of our success is just always trying to brainstorm new ideas to market and to promote ourselves and just to find ways to grow and to involve our fans in what we're doing and, you know, but everyone's goal is to get somewhat of a cult following of people who just love you for what you do. And, you know, we have fans show up to help us record gang vocals on our album and stuff.
Oh,
on 100 Foxes, really cool. There's a big group of, like, what was it, 20?
20 people there.
20
it
people that
fans?
Showed up on
it's
a Saturday.
Kids that showed up and sang with us. It was incredible.
Yeah, and so, you know, stuff like that where we get people involved in what we're doing because, especially when they're a part of it, they want it to succeed too.
Oh,
and they want to show it everybody, like, they're on that song. You can't really, you know, hear their voice distinctly, but they're in that big
group. They're there.
Which is really cool, so.
I think to add to that too, I mean, we delegate different jobs and tasks to each other. All of us kind of have a different skill set outside of music that I think helps to benefit the band. Austin brought up business. He handles the finance and a lot of the business end, where a lot of us don't want to do that.
Taxes.
And I think, yeah, taxes. No band goes, let's do a band, man. Oh, are you stoked for tax season? That's going to be rocking, man. Nobody's excited about taxes, but Austin does them when the rest of us are like, yeah, you can handle that. But so we all have our different jobs where we've talked about how Montana is extremely good with recording production, and so he does the majority of that for us, where all of us are kind of producers on the album. Montana is the executive producer of that. He really is. And, I mean, you take Adrian and Chelsea. who have both been in big bands, who have both practiced harder than any of us have. And so when it comes to our practice time together, they're the ones that are most harsh on us, saying, you suck, you need to do this again. And we go, okay, and we do it again and do it again. Brad's a lot of the same way. He's a perfectionist, and he practices his instrument at least 4 hours a day. It's insane. Also drives you crazy when you're at a venue and he's sitting there in a practice pad going,
having a conversation.
And you're just talking, like, Brad, what? And it's constant. Oh, no, this happens too. Then it gets faster. But, I mean, all of us kind of have these different skill sets that add into the band that help it move forward. And we keep each other accountable, too.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing. So if one of us isn't doing our job, we give them a little kick. I kicked. Nobody didn't see it.
I thought.
You can't see in the podcast, but I kicked.
There was a kick. I'm a witness. Alright, well, that's all the questions I have for you guys. So if you want to add anything, feel free to.
Yeah, looking forward to Looking Back. Our brand new album comes out everywhere September 29th. And make sure to follow on Spotify and Apple Music so that you